Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob Enyart Live. I'm Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church.
And I'm Doug McBurney, and I'm just glad to be here.
What an honor to be the pastor of Denver Bible Church and to be in the studio with Doug McBurney. Thank you, Doug.
Well, right back at you. Same to you.
It's sad that we have another entry on our list of Christian leaders going gay.
No.
It's called the superfluous list. Of Christian leaders going gay because it's irrelevant.
Yeah.
Because we're in the midst of the year the church goes gay.
Yes.
Which I never really use that word, gay.
No, I try not to.
10,000 times I've had to refer to this filthy subject on the air in 24 years.
Right.
And I always say homosexual.
But some things just
some things
flow
it's
better.
Alliteration.
Alliteration.
You have to say
the
year the church goes gay.
Yep. There you go.
Or like gag me with a spoon.
Yeah.
Those kinds of. So at any rate, it's now the Church of Scotland.
The Church of Scotland
has homosexual ministers.
What?
So if anybody goes to kgov.com/homo.
Yeah.
Or they could spell it out. Homosexual.
We prefer homo, though.
Gay.
Homo.
Slash whatever.
I like homo because it stigmatizes the whole lifestyle.
Homo.
Homo. And the thing is, the homos hate that word. Homo.
They do hate it? Why do they hate it?
They want to be called gay.
It's like Warren Hearn and Boulder hates being called an abortionist.
He does.
Who hates being called a podiatrist or an ophthalmologist? Who hates that?
No.
Who hates being called what they do?
That's interesting.
But he's a child killer.
Yeah.
And they're homos.
And they're homos.
So.
And they've gotten to the Church of Scotland.
They've tried to say to me, oh, I'm going to call you a hetero. I'm like, so what?
Okay.
That's
I'm good with
fine. But yeah, what?
Well, now, wait, Bob. The church in Scotland says they've changed the rules to allow civil partners so that they can maintain their traditional view on marriage. They're not going to recognize married homo priests. Or is that what they call them?
Wait.
They're
no,
only
going to
no, recognize go ahead. Civil partners.
As ministers.
As ministers.
So, I mean, you know the contortions that people go through when they try to make immorality seem acceptable?
Yes, that's what they're doing here.
So they say this, Church of Scotland permits gay civil partners as ministers.
Right.
So the partners.
The partners, yeah.
Could be the minister, but not the minister.
Well, if they get...
It doesn't make any sense.
If they get married, they can't be a minister, but if they're a partner... Anyway, it's the church trying to have it
homo.
Both ways. And
it's the year the church
whenever you
gay.
Start talking about, whenever you do the gender bendering, it gets very confusing.
Yeah. So we have
it
now
very confusing.
Vicky Beeching on the list.
The singer, the pop artist.
Worship leader, songwriter. World Vision, despite their money-driven reversal.
Right.
Byron Keith, Pepperdine University.
Oops. Pepperdine.
I was just there 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Amy Grant, Ray Bolts, former megachurch pastor Rob Bell, affirming homosexuality and homosexual marriage. Jars of Clay.
What?
Frontman Dan Hasseltine. He tweeted support for homosexual marriage.
And, if, and that counts, by the way.
If you're coming out for homosexual marriage, I mean, it adds insult to injury to tweeting.
Yes. But on Judgment Day, tweets will be counted.
Oh, yeah. Jesus said every word, every tweet.
Every idle word.
Every action.
Every idle word. That is the definition of a tweet, every idle word.
Yeah, yeah, that's in the Bible.
Yeah.
It's in the New Testament. For those who are bigoted against the Old Testament.
Yeah.
God.
Give you something from the New Testament.
Yeah.
Now, do you want to go on with this list? Because it's
depressing. Well, I'm about done. The Mormon Church...
Okay. Well,
cult
has
begun advocating for homosexual rights, and now the Church of Scotland has homosexual ministers.
Who would have thought the Scots would go that way? That's like the last line of defense in Europe. The only place in Europe there were men left was Scotland, and now they've gotten to that.
Yeah. Well, you know, they have been wearing...
They,
For a long time.
They have been wearing skirts.
But well, no, those skirts, together. You know, those that even back 30 years ago, before homos were on the horizon.
Back when you couldn't talk about this kind of stuff in public.
Before you had encountered your first pile of homosexuals.
Yeah.
Because that's the proper collective noun.
It's not a flock. It's not a herd.
It's a pile.
It's a pile.
People wonder, what is the collective noun for homosexuals?
Well, that's, we're here to help.
It's pile. But anyway, pile. From the earliest days, you see guys in these, what are they
called?
The kilt.
Yeah.
And I understood it as a kid that this was cultural.
Yes.
This was not effeminate.
Right.
This was no gender bender thing.
No.
This was just culture, which is fine.
It's fine.
In the Bible, the priest wore skirts.
They wore robes, skirts.
Robes.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You're
right.
Like skirts.
So anyway, the if you seen a Scotsman in a kilt with a sword, you'd never thought anything
you'd
feminine.
Run.
Yeah, you'd run away in
right.
fear.
Yeah.
But that's so. Just sad. The Church of Scotland now is gone gay.
Yeah.
Along with the rest of the Protestant Church. How long till they get to the Pope and the Catholics? That's got to be coming soon. Anyway, we'll keep our gaydar up for that.
And if anybody has examples, it is a superfluous list. We call it the superfluous list. it's superfluous.
Yeah.
But regardless, if you have an example, just email it to bob@kgov.com.
Yep. The crack staff will sort through it.
Yeah.
And if you qualify.
Yeah, we'll add it to the list.
It'll go on the list.
So that people know, but it's superfluous.
Yeah.
It's so obvious. It's, gag me with a spoon obvious.
Well, let's talk about technology. No, let's not talk about technology. Let's talk about Bill Jack and his debate.
Oh, Bill Jack. And then we do want to get to drones and
the
coming horror of drones.
Yeah.
And the use of drones by criminals, the use of drones by terrorists.
Yes.
And it's all coming.
It's all coming.
Yeah. To a city near you.
Mm-hmm.
But, all right, the debate at DU.
Bill Jack was at Duh last night.
He was.
Yeah.
He was the bright, shining star in the sea of Duh.
So he was there to debate evolution versus creationism.
Yeah, Travis Barlock, who he presented. I felt like I was listening to Aaron Ra. Afterward, I asked him, have you ever heard of Aaron Ra?
Yeah.
He's like, no, who's he? They all sound exactly the same.
Yep.
They use the same canards, the same utterly discredited arguments that are discredited by fellow secular scientists,
that's right.
Even by evolutionists.
Yes. And you know what the dead giveaway is?
What?
Is when they use the word magic for creationism. You can tell that they all read The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Universe, and they're all just mimicking Bill Nye and the other folks who write the talking points.
Yeah.
Magic.
So I thought I really enjoyed Bill Jack's presentation. It wasn't the red meat that a lot of active creationists want.
Right.
Like with Ken Ham's debate with the science guy.
With Bill Nye, yeah.
People who are in the creation movement, they wanted to hear Ken Ham present all the powerful scientific evidence and discoveries that refute evolution.
Yeah.
And refute the old Earth and refute the Big Bang.
There's so much of it.
Yeah.
You'd think you'd use a lot.
Like dinosaur soft tissues, for example.
Yeah.
And so many other fun examples. But instead, he chose a worldview presuppositions approach and heavy on sharing the gospel.
Which is good.
It was great. Bill Jack did a fabulous job. You know, I would have done it totally differently. I would have went after the science. The claims that Travis Barlock was making.
Yeah.
I would have gone after those and then touched on these other issues. But I was glad that Bill Jack was up there and not Real Science Radio, because the people in the audience, they desperately needed to hear the gospel message reinforced.
Well, if there's ever a place that needed the gospel preached, it's the DU campus.
Yeah.
So,
Travis, afterward, I asked a couple of his, I don't know if Travis leads a group on campus, University of Denver, or as a teacher's aide, or I don't know, but he had a whole contingent. Maybe there were 80 or 100 people there. Whole contingent of, a lot of young girls who were giggling at almost everything he said. And Travis was especially mocking and rude throughout. Almost he couldn't control. He almost couldn't get himself to be respectful.
Yeah.
Where Bill Jack, of course, was respectful throughout.
So Travis is obviously trying to impress the girls.
And he's, you know, I don't know how old he is, 22 years old.
He's old enough to impress impressionable young girls.
But so mocking.
Yeah.
And it's like you go to the forums with the world's leading evolutionist.
Yeah.
Whoever they are, it doesn't matter. They're all the same.
Yep.
And P.Z. Myers and whoever. And it's been noted in the pages of the New York Times that they're nothing but dripping with hatred and bigotry and filth.
Yeah, vulgarity.
They
and profanity.
Can't talk without defecation and reproduction.
Yeah.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the mainstay of their communication ability.
Wow.
And so, at any rate, Travis was not vulgar, but constantly mocking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mocking. And so I asked the two guys sitting next to me, and they were his fans.
Yeah.
And I said, well, he mentioned about 15 pieces of evidence for evolution in the whole debate of an hour or so.
Yeah.
What's big of those items? And they, oh, the whale fossils.
Get out of here.
The whale transition.
Oh, no.
So I shared with them the latest science. Where that stuff has been withdrawn by the discoverer.
By the discoverer himself.
Yeah, and Dr. Philip Gingrich.
Yeah.
And they were stunned, and they knew from the details I was giving them and everything. You Google everything today.
Sure.
They could tell it's true.
Mm-hmm.
I said, has Travis shared this with you? No. So after the debate, I went up and was able to ask Travis Barlock a few questions. And I asked him about that. I said, did you know that Dr. Philip Gingrich, who discovered Rodocetus, which these guys in the audience say that's your big,
that was his
that's
big
one of your
gun.
Favorite
yeah.
examples, that he found a few bones, and when he reconstructed the extinct animal, he put a fluked tail on it.
You know
the tail that looks like a whale's tail?
Yes, we all know the stories.
And he put a blowhole in the skull and flippers, and he said, I found Rodocetus.
The transitional.
Rodocetus. Here it is.
This is it. The missing link.
It went to whales from a land tetrapod to a whale.
Yeah.
And they put it in all the museums, the great museums around the world. It's right there.
Yeah.
And so then they found more of the skeleton. Had no fluke tail.
Whoops.
No blowhole. No flippers. It was a typical land-dwelling tetrapod.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So guess where all the world's leading museums, guess where they still have Rodocetus?
Well, they've taken them down and put them in the basement.
No,
right?
They got them in the line to whale evolution with the tail, with the blowhole, years after they found the rest of the. So it's too big to fail.
Wow.
So I said, Travis, I know that, you know, you're not going to just trust a creationist, but assuming you'll look this up. He said, oh, yeah, I'll look it up. If you confirm this, will you then stop using this piece of evidence? Will you?
Yeah, and
here's what he said.
What did he say?
He said, well, that's only one of 1,000 pieces of evidence. I said, no, that's not true, Travis, because aside from the fact that it's your favorite, it was a few bones that an evolutionist professor added a tail, flippers, and a blowhole sheerly by his imagination.
Yeah, in the fine tradition of Ernst Haeckel.
Yes.
It's just right. Absolutely.
Just fabricating evidence for the theory.
Right.
And the whole evolutionary community, the worldwide evolutionary community, accepted it as gospel, and they still do years after it's been debunked by the discoverer himself.
Right. Unbelievable.
It's all at kgov.com/whales.
So.
Or /Travis.
Oh, really?
You could go to /Travis. That page, we will collect our observations about the debate at kgov.com/Travis.
So that was his strongest piece of evidence was a fraud.
It's travesty.
A travesty.
It's but and then it went on. We talked about, so he said, I don't know, is this too much information?
No,
about
can
the
I
debate?
Tell you? Because yeah. I happened to hear a recording.
Oh, you. What recording?
Well, there was a recording apparently made that you may or may not be aware of, but that I'm going to work to make sure that is revealed. He said you could throw out the entire fossil record, and that still would not discredit.
So you heard some of this?
I heard
some. You were not there. We had a good contingent from Real Science Radio
we
there.
Did. Yeah, I had a drone.
You weren't there.
I had a drone there, a plant, in the audience to record what was going on.
Well, I remember. So you heard this. I remember what he said. He said, It doesn't matter if we didn't have any fossils.
He said, that's what he said. It doesn't matter.
Because we have the genetic evidence, which reinforces the tree of life, Darwin's, the whole thing.
Unbelievable.
And I said, Travis, you should know that that's not true. There is the list of genomes that just don't fit. Now that scores of organisms have been sequenced, their DNA,
yeah.
There's a virtual war between the geneticist and the paleontologist and the anatomist. They cannot show the tree of life,
yeah.
The descendants, the way that Darwin predicted from the genetics. It contradicts the fossil record.
Yes.
They're out of order.
Just massive contradiction.
And it contradicts also the sequencing of the proteins.
Yeah.
And it contradicts the anatomy. So there's all different ways you can say what evolved into what.
Sure.
They all contradict one another.
Yeah, it's not fair.
And so the evolutionists are lamenting that they cannot build the tree of life because every way they look at it, they get totally contradictory trees.
So they're going to scrap the tree of life, and 5 or 10 years later, Travis might stop using it. It'll be refused.
There's so many even atheistic scientists, biologists, molecular biologists, who've said, you know what? It's over. This Darwinian theory of natural selection,
right.
Survival of the fittest, common descent, it is now passé to argue that it's false because it's so obviously false.
It's so obviously false.
So at our list of scholars doubting Darwin,
yeah.
We present the thousands upon thousands of scholars
mm-hmm.
and PhDs and MDs. You know, Travis Barlock, he did say, you know, one of his 50 instances of mocking Bill Jack.
Yeah.
He said, you know, there's only one scientist on this stage.
Oh, he did.
And I don't know if he meant the moderator who was only keeping time. Because he just graduated with a BS in biology. He's just graduated.
Yeah.
He's not a scientist. You're not a scientist just when you get a degree in biology.
That does not qualify.
You've got to
you're
become
a successful student.
Yeah.
And you're also not yet an adult.
Practically.
Anyway. Yeah, he's a child.
Well.
Behaving like a child to impress other children.
Yeah.
And he got to leave with a contingent of giggling young college girls, which was really the point.
Which is the main reason liberal professors are atheists.
That's why.
Because they want to seduce the young women in their
impressionable
classrooms.
Young women.
Right.
Yeah. And that's what that was. That was.
That's why they're evolution.
What's the
too.
Fella's name there? Travesty. That was the whole goal of Travesty.
Travesty
last night. Yeah, that's what he's all about.
But I enjoyed it. And that, so he said, well, if we throw out every fossil, we still have proof. It's the genetics. You know, I introduced the list of genomes that just don't fit.
Right.
And you know, to his credit, he didn't say, well, that's ridiculous. Because he's probably heard this.
Sure, he can't say that.
For 10 years, but he doesn't want to actually acknowledge it. So it's easy to throw out a soundbite and say genetics doubly confirms the paleontology.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the tree of life when it contradicts it at every point.
Right. But hey, it's still working with the girls, so don't give it up.
So
right?
Say it. And there was a lot more. So you heard a recording.
Yes. We're going to try and get it. I'm going to try and get it on the web somehow so that people can hear it.
Well,
because it's interesting.
I want to hear it.
It's an interesting brief conversation
of the
after the event.
Yeah, the after party.
Yeah. Now, nice. I had a drone in there, but just to record anything that might happen. But let's talk a little bit about drones. And I want to preface this by letting you know, you may not be aware, that I like drones.
Oh,
I think they're really cool.
They're totally cool.
And I think that they could save lives, increase productivity, farming. I mean, there's so many awesome things that drones can do.
Yeah.
But
beyond Amazon.
But like the internet is in and of itself is good.
Yeah.
But
it's
it has
tool.
The potential of facilitating massive amounts of evil and wickedness.
Yeah. Destruction.
Right. And drones are... Well, just like any other tool ever invented by mankind, they have the potential.
Well, so years ago when drones first came into, you know, the possibility that civilians could have drones.
Yeah.
So years ago, we're at Planned Parenthood and we talk about, you know, we could get a drone. Back then, you're going to talk like $30,000.
Right.
We could get a drone and use it to help our surveillance of Planned Parenthood,
spy
the abortion mills.
Spy on the adversary.
But of course, while no one else would, we would go to jail if we did that.
Oh, absolutely.
No one else would, but we would.
You would.
So we discounted the idea.
Right.
But and then for years we said, you know, we're not going to talk about criminals using drones.
Yeah.
Because that time will come, but murderers are bad problem solvers. Criminals are bad problem solvers.
Right.
So you don't want to give them ideas.
Sure.
Until it's obvious to even an idiot.
Yeah.
So now we've come to that point.
We're pretty much there now.
Right. So
I mean, we actually had a guy, I don't know if you remember this, Bob, back in February, a guy crashed his drone on the White House grounds by accident.
I remember that.
He lost control of it, and it ends up in the White House, and then everyone at the White House was surprised.
And we should have, and that
which
should
is
have,
a little scary.
Right, and that should have begun the national discussion of not how to protect the White House from drones, but how to protect everyone.
Yeah, yeah.
Because criminals, folks who are perverts who are on some sex offender registry.
Yeah.
You know, the only sex offender registry should be carved in granite.
Absolutely. That's one at only a time. And one, yeah. we'll do one for each one. Yeah. Custom made.
Yeah, in granite.
In granite.
But the kids who are just getting them, and they're going to use them to go to the second floor windows of homes and look in at night with high definition TV.
Yeah.
And criminals in England, the police are talking about criminals using drones already to scope out their next target.
Yeah.
What's the weakest entry point into your home?
Right.
I mean, they get right up. Forget Google Images.
Yeah.
Google Earth. They get right up, right on your windows, looking at your doors, your windows.
Yeah, it's scary stuff.
Upstairs. And so, and then, of course, the terrorists are going to be able to open the back door of a tractor trailer, an 18-wheeler, and just release a swarm of 30, 40 drones, one with a bomblet.
Oh, wow.
At any event, anywhere in the country, at any time, that's all coming. That is all coming.
I think you're right. Wow.
And so the Republicans have been guilty, too, with the Democrats, of being utterly confused on how to fight crime and terrorism. And you don't, your primary strategy should not be make it so that the bad guys can't commit crime.
Well, how do you make it so you can't commit a crime with a drone?
Well, it's...
That's very difficult.
Well, they're going to ban drones, maybe.
How do you stop 100 million people who are potential...
If you ban drones, you think the bad guys are not going to have... It's just like with guns.
Right, right.
Liberals are stupid, right? and Republicans are handicapped. So you can't make it so that they can't commit crime.
No.
So the only valid primary objective is to make it so that they won't commit crime, so that the punishment is so horrific that they won't even think of committing the crime.
Wow.
That's what we need, and we're not there.
Well, no, we're not even.
The Republicans don't know it. The Democrats don't know.
They're not even thinking along that algorithm.
Way too timid, on both sides of the aisle.
Right.
Way too timid. And so we are going to see that development in the near future.
Wow. Now, a criminal, how do you stop people from robbing houses with the drones? That seems fairly simple. You make the punishment so severe that people won't do it.
Well, for your typical criminal.
Yeah, your typical. You're always going to have the outlier.
But
what about the suicidal, maniacal Islamist terrorist?
Oh, right.
How do you make the price too high to pay for him? I've been pondering
Well,
that.
We gave that answer on September 12th, 2001.
Oh.
We did the whole show on it.
Oh,
even
I
September
remember.
11th. We're live on the air.
Yeah, you were on the air. I remember that.
With the Information Freedom Network.
Yeah.
By the time the last plane crashed in Pennsylvania.
Right, right.
We were on the air talking about this was Al-Qaeda and what to do about it.
Yeah.
And, Doug, so what we recommended right then was, of course, the utter destruction of any government that would support terrorism. So it's a war on Islamic terrorism. And so Iran supports Islamic terrorists. You go to war against Tehran.
Mm.
You destroy the governing leaders of Tehran. You bomb them. You use ground troops. You do whatever. You destroy any government that would dare support a jihadist worldview.
You know, the governments that support these terrorists, they're not suicidal. they find someone who's mentally deranged and suicidal, but they themselves are not.
Yeah, right.
So it could work. You could scare them.
And then that the U.S. would become energy self-sufficient. Of course, oil is fungible, but we would build approximately 100 nuclear power plants.
Yeah.
And in that one and only area, imitate France.
Yeah, that alone, okay.
And we tell the OPEC, oil producing
and exporting.
No, what's OPEC?
The
petroleum exporting countries.
Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries.
We tell OPEC that we are going to begin to supply the world with our oil, as we no longer need it, unless you go to war and stamp out terrorism in the Middle East.
Well, so then now they have a motivation.
Yeah,
they're not only are they not suicidal, they're greedy.
They will go broke. They would go broke. And here we are 15 years later.
Yeah.
They, the Arab nations, the Muslim nations, would have ended terrorism 10 years ago.
And instead, here we are 15 years later, and the terrorists are on the verge of being able to threaten us.
They just took Ramadi, no less.
They took that basically is Anbar province. It's the next step is Baghdad. The terrorists now have the ability quite possibly to threaten an American in your own house with a drone.
Yeah.
It's just, it's.
Yeah, churches.
It's scary.
Synagogues.
Football stadiums.
Right. The Super Bowl. So, you know, they're going to be, the FBI and Homeland Security will be there. They'll be jamming frequencies.
Yeah.
They'll be on hyper alert.
They're going to make it so you can't. They're going to try
their
best.
They're going to try to make it, and they might succeed.
Yeah, for
but
they
that's
will.
That's just one event.
They will for a while.
That's one event.
Wow.
There are thousands of such events in a year, tens of thousands.
You can't protect every event.
No, so it has to be, the deterrent has to be sufficient so that people won't commit crime. They will not that they cannot.
Right.
As soon as the government loses any semblance of biblical wisdom and they try to make it so that you can't commit crime, you've lost and the bad guys have won. And there is an epidemic of murder and sexual assault and crime and add terrorism to that mix.
Right. And now you now mix in the drones. Send in the drones.
Right.
That's scary stuff.
Yeah. So at Bob and Yurt Live, you know, for 24 years on the air, we've said that we specialize not just in what's wrong with Obama. So
right.
Boring. Roll radio. But we specialize in the solutions.
Mm.
What are the actual solutions? This morning, my son Dominic, how old is Dominic?
He's 13.
We've got seven boys. He just had his 14.
Oh,
somebody
he's 14.
In the studio
That's
audience.
Right.
He's 14. Our discussion this morning before breakfast was tort reform.
Tort reform.
We talked about tort reform for 20 minutes.
With your 14-year-old.
He said, Dad, you got to say that on the air. So we said this 20 years ago.
Wow.
But we'll get to that. We don't have time today.
We'll talk tort reform.
But there are solutions if you have a biblical perspective.
This is
if you don't, you're groping in the dark.
Yes, and you'll only grope so long until
Travis.
Until you'll be overtaken by your adversary if you grope long enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it might still be working with the girls, Travis, but it ain't working.
No.
Okay? It just ain't.
Doug, every argument he gave has been refuted by the secular scientists who reject creation.
Wow.
Every argument.
So glad you were there.
Yeah. All right, so let me know if you do put whatever you got
on. Oh, we'll get it on.
On YouTube?
Uh-oh. Oh, yeah.
All right. Hey, God bless you guys. KGov.com.